Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. We're going to finish up our series today, United We Stand. And as I was thinking about this message this morning, I recognize there are things that we can do together, and there's other aspects of life where we are by ourselves. For instance, we can study together, but you will take a test alone. There may be two parents in a home, but the roles are going to be different. You may be even engaged in a team sport, but only one person could take the final shot. Sometimes, because this is true, the world can seem like a lonely place. We're going to look at our text this morning, which we're going to find in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'll be reading the first 8 verses, and I'll be reading out of the CSB. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 30 starts this way. David and his men arrived in Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had raided the Negev and attacked and burned Ziklag. They also had kidnapped the women and everyone in it, from youngest to oldest. They had killed no one, but had carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burned. Their wives, sons, and daughters had been kidnapped. David and the troops with him wept loudly until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had also been kidnapped. David was in an extremely difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him, for they were all very bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David said to the priest Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it to him, and David asked the Lord, "Should I pursue these raiders? Will I overtake them?" The Lord replied to him, "Pursue them, for you will certainly overtake them and rescue the people." Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Oh Lord, when you were asked the question by a mother, "Place one of my sons on your right and one on the left in your kingdom," your response was, "Are they able to drink the cup I'm about to drink?" No, they could not. You went to Calvary alone so that we would never have to be alone. Sometimes you call us to walk through something ourselves, but we are never alone. And we thank you for that, because we can't make it alone. Remind us this day that you are always with us as we search your scriptures. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Often, when we read a biblical account, we should ask ourselves, okay, this is what happened, and then what? Because they are just people the same way we are. What would have been going on in your own heart or mind if you faced the same circumstance that happened to them? For example, when I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac, Dad, you just tied me up and you were about to plunge a dagger in my chest. And Abraham's response would have been, well, son, I have faith in God that he would bring you back to life. If I'm Isaac, I'm thinking, Dad, then let me poke you with the knife. You're the one who has this faith. My faith still needs to be built. Matter of fact, that journey home would not be quiet. It'd be a whole lot of talking for me to understand what just took place. In our biblical account this morning, we must ask the question, these things took place, and then what? Because no matter what the final outcome is, you guys were just talking about stoning me to death. That's a hard pill to swallow. That is not erased from the mind so easily. If you were about to hit me upside my head with a rock, I think tomorrow when I see you, it's going to cross my mind. That must have felt like a real lonely place for David. You go back to town, everything is charred and burnt down. All of the children and women were taken away, kidnapped. And you are devastated and you're weeping bitterly. And then you're the one who gets the blame. We're going to kill this dude. Who were these guys that were looking to kill David? When David was on the run from Saul, he went to the caves to hide out. And Scripture tells us that his brothers and his whole family went along with him, but also anyone that was desperate, anyone in debt or discontent rallied around him, and he became their leader. And by this point, he had 400 men with him. David was on the run from Saul. He finds himself hiding out in this cave, and he's there with a bunch of misfits that join him, and he becomes their leader. And now they're ready to kill him. One thing that we all know about experiencing life is that it comes with highs and lows. It comes with all kinds of tosses and turns. And we are facing things that we sometimes have to do alone, but you're never really alone. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he was falsely accused and was placed in prison. But although he was by himself, he was never alone, because every time something else happened in Joseph's life, the scripture says, and God was with him. Paul was imprisoned on several occasions. And at the end of his life, he's in prison and he's writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says to him while he's in prison, hey, make every effort to come. And please, when you come, bring my cloak. And also make sure that you bring the parchments. And then he says that there were multiple people that turned on him and abandoned him. And the text goes on to say, at my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and to all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And then Paul gives God glory. There are many people in the Bible that we see found themselves in a situation where they were by themselves, but they were never alone. Actually, David's whole life was marked with him being often by himself. David was a shepherd. That's you and the sheep. Even that job, you're by yourself. When the prophet comes to make a king and goes before Jesse, David's father, he presents all his sons one after another. And the prophet finally says, it's none of these. Don't you have another son? And he says, yeah, but he's tending the sheep. Well, we won't sit down and eat until you bring him. Just think what the family dynamics must have been for David not to even be presented with his brothers. We see another example of that when David is sent to the battlefield to bring his brothers food. They come and he's asking like, hey, well, like, what's going on here? And they basically say to him, like, why are you even here? You're not here with any good intentions. Wow. We know the story. David is the one who ends up killing the giant, and then he's invited into the king's court. And David plays an instrument, and when he plays, it soothes the king. And this very same king tries to pin him to the wall on more than one occasion, which is why he ends up on the run in the first place. Like, when we hear these stories, because we know kind of what happens in the end, I think sometimes we don't make the people human. Like, these were people this was happening to. David was a person with emotions and feelings and had to work through every one of those situations. Like Mike Tyson said, I smacked him in the face because he stepped on my foot, right? So whether that was like a ploy or not, at the end of the day, like, it was somebody going through something and then they responded. So in the same way, David, in every one of these situations, Paul being abandoned, Joseph being given up by his brothers, there were emotions attached to that. They felt a certain way about that. God was working something in them and for them in those situations, just like us. They were living life. Like, we get upset about far less than this. We question God, like, what are you doing for far less than this? When David is on the run, it comes a point where David is king, and when he's celebrating because they're bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, his wife even disrespects him. Look at you. You're a king. You're dancing out here in front of the slave girls like a peasant. Even in David's household, his own son tries to kill him, schemes against him to take his kingdom. He had to be a person that was well acquainted with being by himself. But in the midst of all of that, he was never alone. We can feel isolated and alone. But being by yourself is not the same thing as being lonely. Those are two different things. I love being around people. I can be with people one-on-one. I can be with a crowd of people and enjoy that. But I don't need that necessarily. I need by my. Interactions wouldn't go as well. I remember even during COVID, just being with my wife and my daughter that I love to be with. They had so many projects every time that they saw me, I just spent a lot of time in the shed. Every tool cleaned, polished, floor swept. It doesn't look like that now, but I needed to be alone. And I love them. Even when we think about solitude is a good thing. Sometimes we need to be off by ourselves. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes through circumstance, God makes it that way. That is a time for us actually to be alone with God. It's very important. All we hear is noise in the world. To be quiet, to be still, to be alone with God, to pray, to meditate. It is extremely important to just simply enjoy the presence of the Lord and no one else. But then there is something else. There is loneliness. I read an essay that said this: being alone and being lonely are two different things. One can be alone without being lonely, and one can be lonely in a crowded room. Loneliness is therefore a state of mind, an emotion brought on by feelings of separation from other human beings. The sense of isolation is very deeply felt by those who are lonely. There is no deeper sadness than that ever comes over the mind than the idea that we are alone in the world, that we don't have a friend, that no one cares for us, that no one is concerned about anything that might happen to us. Once in a while, We all feel that way. But some people, it's a little bit more constant. It's something that they deal with for seasons, and sometimes even long seasons. Actually, the article said 2 out of 5 Americans feel that on a regular basis. That's a high percentage. So the question is, what do we do with that? Well, the text says that David found strength in the Lord. What David went through, he had to feel a sense of isolation. He had to feel a sense of loneliness. Well, I don't have anyone else. I was here in this cave. Y'all came over here this way and made me your leader. And now when things didn't go the way you wanted it to go, you know, when we were like over there somewhere while the city was getting burned down, I wasn't here. I was with you guys. It's funny because often we feel like our performance is what dictates how other people treat us or think of us. So, when we're not successful in something, no one wants to be around us. It appears that no one's in our corner. We may even get the blame. But even when you're successful, you can have that same feeling, because we read the text where the Lord said, after David inquired, pursue him, go get him. Now, he brings everyone back. No one's crying anymore. They're rejoicing. But yesterday, you wanted to hit me upside my head with a rock. I still feel alone, because if it didn't turn out this way, what would have taken place? So sometimes it could be a successful thing. Everyone's around you cheering. That doesn't make you feel any less lonely necessarily. So David found his strength in the Lord. In the midst of all of that, the King James Version says David encouraged himself in the Lord. But what does that mean? How? First off, standing in the midst of the ruins, everything burnt down, all the women and children taken away, including his wives, he was able to say, the Lord loves me. We have to solidify in our minds, the Lord loves me. If I'm a child of God, the Lord loves me. If I walk outside of this door and get hit by a truck, the Lord loves me. The same way people get treated, sometimes we tend to treat God. Hey, things are rolling. The Lord loves me. Whoa, why did this happen? Lord, do you love me? We're all guilty of that. David, in the midst of his trouble, not knowing what was going to happen, was able to think of the history that he had with the Lord and say, the Lord loves me. He was able to say also, the Lord has chosen me. went through every single son. None of these are going to be king. Don't you have another son? David was able to remember that in that moment and say, the Lord loves me and the Lord chose me. The Lord has chosen us. The Bible tells us that. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I picked you. What is that? What does that mean? That means in the midst of your trouble, you can wrestle with your situation and say, the Lord loves me. The Lord has chosen me. Time and time again, David could also say, the Lord has delivered me. Before he fought Goliath, he says, hey, I've stood up to a lion and a bear. He stood up to Goliath. He got away every time Saul chucked a spear at him. The Lord has delivered me and protected me. See, when we get it wrong, well, we think like, does the Lord love me? I chose God. I was quick with my reflexes. That's how I killed the lion and the bear. That's how I dodged the spear. Not David. The Lord loves me. The Lord has chosen me. The Lord has delivered me. And because of those things, I can encourage myself and the Lord. Me and the Lord are a majority. If I get stoned, the Lord allowed it. In the midst of everyone coming against me, in the midst of the worst situation that, in fact, David is the one who led the troops wherever they were when they weren't home. So they weren't like totally wrong when it's like, you brought us over there while they came and got our women and children over here. Even if he's wrestling in his mind, maybe that wasn't the right decision. Because it's not only what's out there that you have to wrestle with, you got to wrestle with what's going on in here. The Lord loves me. The Lord chose me. The Lord has delivered me, and he will deliver me again. And if he chooses not to deliver me, it's even better. I get to go home. Not only did David encourage himself and the Lord, but he was able to look at his situation and recognize, I don't know what to do. And at that point, some of the things that David was doing were quite shady. In other words, he wasn't on a spiritual high in that moment. You know how we like ask for big things when we think, well, I've been reading my Bible. I've been consistent in church. I've been in my prayer closet. I could ask for this. And when we're acting up like we all tend to do at times, we're like, let me keep a low profile. This is God we're talking about. Thank God our availability to him, ability to ask, is not based on our performance. Is based on us being in Christ. So David was able to go and ask, Lord, should I pursue the enemy? And will I overtake them? He wasn't asking like, count my men, and are we strong enough to? No, he's saying, God, what is your will in this situation? Is this the way I should approach this? First off, he'd better ask. These guys were picking up rocks, not for the enemy, for him. He could have came with whatever plan he wanted to. That didn't mean their hearts were in the place to continue to follow him. We must learn to be content in the Lord. We must learn to be content in the Lord. And that is not to say we don't need one another, that we don't need community. Loneliness is a real thing. But we cannot put expectations on people that space can only be filled by God. When we go through seasons of loneliness, the temptation is for us to try to fill that void that only God can fill with people. In other words, through loneliness, people get mixed up with wrong people. You may be single and loving it. You may be single and desiring a spouse. You're better off single than having the wrong spouse. You will regret it. You may have a spouse and still feel alone. You may have a household of people and still feel alone. The reason why people get into these wrong romantic relationships is because they're looking for something in terms of contentment that they're only gonna find in the Lord. The reason why people join gangs when you ask them is because they're looking for a place of being. They're looking for family. Family is here. I got a lot of family members that are not saved. And we're family, and I love them, and we're blood. I don't know if I'm going to be with them in eternity. That's for God to decide. But I could tell you there's a chasm between me and them. It could be a child. It could be a sibling. It could be a parent. It could be a spouse. Your family in the church, because of the Spirit of God being in us, is closer than anyone else. That's why I say all the time, make community. We have potluck for community. Like there's certain people's food here that I really like. That's not why we do it. We have fellowship time after the service for community, for us to know each other, for us to love on one another, so that we won't be lonely, so we'll see the need for one another. But if you want a friend, you got to be a friend. And there's things that you're looking for in people that you're only going to find in God. You can come up, worship team. Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is going into a new situation, uncharted territory, things that will bring fear. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you. I got you. Psalm 27:10 says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Sometimes we have family issues where there's strains and all kinds of situations going on. And it could last for decades. Even if our mother and father forsake us, God promises to take us in. Scripture tells us, and we all know it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You're with me. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We're not going to find it in man. We're not going to find it in the earth. It's going to be found in him. Psalm 68:5-6 says, father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solidarity in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. As Jesus, as he's leaving and promising the Holy Spirit and that he would be back. Jesus has experienced more loneliness than any of us ever could. First off, imagine how homesick he was for heaven. For eternity past, in perfect community with the Father and the Spirit. And then, in his loneliness, I am about to go to the cross. Can you pray for me for a little while? Couldn't even do that. So he goes to Calvary and feels the weight of sin. And says, Father, have you forsaken me? Have you abandoned me? He did that so we would never be alone. But in that, he brought all loneliness to an end. That his people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That he would make a community of believers that are family. So we have church moms and elders and brothers and sisters. Don't take that lightly. Through sin brought separation. Through the Spirit, we have unity. We have community. We have communion with God. He understands our loneliness. He understands the things that we have to go through by ourselves. But we're never alone. Like, you gotta know that. Before we close, I'm gonna ask the worship team to sing a song. I just want us to reflect on that for a few minutes. The altars are open. You can come, raise your hands, or kneel, or just worship in your seat. But I think we need a little bit of time of introspection. Tomorrow.